Let us all stand together and hear the reading of God's word. Tonight we'll have two scripture reading. One comes from the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1 through 7. And my main text tonight will be John chapter 4, verse 46 through 54. So first, let us hear the word of God coming from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1 through 7. But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in a land of the deep darkness, on them has light shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. And turn to the New Testament, to the Gospel of John, chapter 4, starting from verse 46 to 54. So he came again to Cana in Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And at Capernaum, there was an official whose son was ill. When this man heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went to him and asked him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. So Jesus said to him, unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. The official said to him, sir, come down before my child dies. And Jesus said to him, go, your son will live. The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went on his way. As he was going down, his servants met him and told him that his son was recovering. So he asked them the hour when he began to get better. And they said to him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. The father knew that was the hour when Jesus had said to him, your son will live. And he himself believed, and all his household. This was now the second sign that Jesus did when he had come from Judea to Galilee. May the Lord bless the reading of His word into our hearts. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, You have told us by Your word that man shall not live by bread alone, but with every word that proceeds from Your mouth. And tonight, as we hear the message of Your word, we ask You to open our heart, our eyes, towards You, to receive the message of Your word as a message from the great shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ, the King and the head of the church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. For everyone who would like to know the God of the Bible and how God bestows salvation to all people who put their trust in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, there is one important question that needs to be answered. And that question is, who is Jesus Christ? In relation to salvation, in relation to the redemption of the people of God, who is Jesus Christ? What does recognizing Jesus Christ for who is means in our Christian life? And the reason why we need to revisit this question over and over again in our Christian life, my brothers and sisters, is because of the several false conception, false perception about who Jesus Christ is. You see, today for many people, our Lord Jesus Christ is merely a human being. A human being, a harmless man. People, they don't go beyond that. And for many people, Jesus Christ is merely a distinguished religious leader. If you want to know about religion, if you want to know about God, you just read maybe the red marked words of Jesus Christ in the Bible, and you can know who Jesus Christ is, and you can know about Christian religion. But not only that, today for many people, even people who claim to be Christians, Jesus Christ is merely a healer. If you have enough faith and you pray to God in the name of Jesus Christ and you claim your own physical healing, you claim material blessing in your life, and your prayer, which is full of faith, will leave Jesus Christ without any choice than granting your wish. But the question is, what about for us? What about for you, Christian? Who is Jesus Christ? Our Lord Jesus Christ is the God-man who always calls people to believe in His word and be saved. Christ is the God-man who always calls people to believe in His word and be saved. And depending on the grace of God, tonight I would like to show you the truth of that in three ways. One, Jesus Christ is the God-man. And secondly, Jesus Christ always, always calls people to have faith in His word and be saved. And thirdly, believing in the words of Jesus Christ always bears fruit for the kingdom of God. And if you take notice in our text tonight on verse 46, our text says, "So he came again to Cana in Galilee, where he had made water wine. And at Capernaum there was an official whose son was ill." Now this was the beginning of Christ's Galilean ministry. And you remember where Jesus Christ was ministering. Our Lord Jesus Christ was in Samaria. And you remember what happened in Samaria. Our Lord Jesus Christ turned the life of that unnamed and outcast woman upside down. He brought that woman to the real condition of her spiritual life. She saw her sin. She saw where she was in regard to her relationship to Jesus Christ. And that woman said to Jesus, I see that you are the Messiah to come. And she went to her hometown and she told her own people who Jesus Christ was. And many Samaritans came to the saving knowledge of the Son of God. It was after that that Christ came back to Galilee and he started his Galilean ministry. And at the time, Emperor Herod the Great was dead. And his kingdom was divided among his six sons. One of them was Herod Antipas. And he was responsible for the execution of John the Baptist. And now you can see under what circumstances and under which atmosphere that our Lord Jesus Christ was doing his Galilean ministry. It was in the domain of Herod Antipas. And it was then that the nobleman, a courtier, an advisor of Herod Antipas, heard about Jesus Christ. He heard about how Jesus Christ was healing sick people. And this man decided to come to Jesus Christ to seek help for his son. And in passing, let me mention three facts in life that we always need to remember as Christians. The first one is the rich and the noble in this life have affliction as the same as the poor and the weak. No one is exempted from affliction in this life. My friends, riches and rank and fame will not take you beyond trouble in this life. Riches and fame are not almighty. The only almighty who controls everything in the universe, everything that comes to pass, is our God. And for that reason, even the nobleman, with all his riches and with all his fame, could not procure health to his own son. Even the rich had to look to God for help. And then secondly, who was sick, especially those of you who are young. A young man was sick. Your young age will not exempt you from sickness and the fear of death. You love Jesus, you love God, but the reality is your young age is not a guarantee to make you free from sin and the fear of death. You remember the first grave that was dug. It was dug for a son. King David, before he saw his own death, he saw the death of his children. That's the reality of life. And thirdly, you see, the affliction, the trial that came to the household of the nobleman did not drive the nobleman away from Jesus. The affliction brought the nobleman to Jesus Christ. No matter what his motive was, no matter how strong and genuine his faith was, he came to Jesus Christ because of his affliction. And that should remind us what the psalmist one time said to the Lord in Psalm 119, verse 71. The psalmist said, "It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes." Who among us would rise up early in the morning and thank God for the affliction that is experiencing in life? You see, it is easy for us husbands to wake up early in the morning and praise God for the God-fearing wife that He has given us. It is easy for wives to rise up early in the morning and thank God for the loving and caring husband that God has given you. It is easy for you students to rise up early in the morning and praise God for the good grade that you have obtained in your exam. Who would rise up early in the morning and thank God for his affliction? You see, by the grace of God, the psalmist was able to wake up in the morning and praise God for his salvation, for his affliction. And his reason was, so that I might learn your statutes. So that I might come closer to you, so that I might love you more and worship you more because of my affliction. And the nobleman, because of his affliction, he came to Jesus Christ for help. And his request in verse 47 was, "When this man heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went to him and asked him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death." You see, the only reason why the nobleman came to Jesus Christ was a natural reason. His son was sick, and he wanted to see his son healed by Jesus Christ. He didn't come to Jesus Christ for religious instruction. He didn't come to Jesus Christ to repent of his sin. He didn't come to Jesus Christ to recognize him as the Messiah, as the Son of God. He came to Jesus Christ to seek healing for his son. And notice the response of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ said to the nobleman, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will not believe." The people of God, what was the difference between the Samaritans and the Galileans? You see, the Samaritans heard the word of Jesus Christ. In fact, they told the woman, "Woman, we didn't believe in Jesus Christ because of what he told us. You witnessed about him. We heard your witness, your witnessing about him. But we didn't believe because of what he told us. We believed because of what he told us about himself. He proclaimed the kingdom of God to us. We heard his own words, and we took him at his word. We recognized him as he presented himself to us. We believe it because of the word that we have heard from him, not because of what he told us." But the Galileans, you see, their faith was depending on signs and wonders. And that incident, my friends, was not the only incident related to the earthly ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. Even today, there are people who goes to church, who goes to worship, simply for material blessing. Simply to go after signs and wonders. I remember one time, together with my colleague pastors in Eritrea, we did a survey on people who used to go to faith healers. And then the survey came back to us. And we read the survey. And I can summarize the response that we got from the people very briefly to you. The response was, look, if I'm sick, if I have a disease in my body, and it's chronic, incurable, and someone tells me there is healing over there, I do anything to receive that healing. Their response had nothing to do with the preaching of the Word of God that those preachers were preaching. Their response had nothing to do with repentance and faith. Their response has everything to do with material blessing and physical healing. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ is telling these people. I am the God-man. I'm omniscient. I see your heart. Unless you see signs and wonders, there is no way that you people could believe in my word. But note the Samaritans. And notice how the nobleman, even though Jesus told him, don't come after signs and wonders. Know me. Know who I am. Don't be like these other Galileans. And yet the nobleman said to Jesus Christ, please come to Capernaum before my son dies. And my friends, the two great errors that the nobleman made in his life were this. Number one, he limited Jesus Christ. He attempted to limit Jesus Christ in space and in time. He said to Jesus Christ, for my son to be healed, your physical presence in Capernaum is needed. You have to be in Capernaum for my son to be healed. There is no other way. You see, he was lacking the knowledge, the recognition of who Jesus Christ is. He was lacking the knowledge that Jesus Christ is the omnipresent and the omnipotent, the God-man. And then the second error that he made in his life is, he said to Jesus Christ, please come to Capernaum before my son dies. You see, what the nobleman was saying to Jesus Christ, once my son dies, there is nothing that you can do. You have to come to Capernaum before my son dies. He was lacking the knowledge that Jesus Christ is indeed the resurrection and the life. And the Word of God, you see, over and over again, reminds us, tells us who Jesus is. Christ is. Jesus Christ, our Lord, he took a human nature, yet he remained to be God. When he became man, our Lord Jesus Christ didn't stop to be God. 700 years before the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ, the prophet Isaiah, through the revelation that he received from God, he prophesied about the Messiah who was coming. And he gave him a name. In Isaiah chapter 6, the book that we call Emmanuel book, God with us book. Isaiah, referring to Jesus Christ, he said, and his name will be a mighty God. The Son will be born for us, and his name will be a mighty God. And that name, my brothers and sisters, is the divine and the proper and the personal name for God, Yahweh, God Almighty. God the Creator, God the Savior, God the Provider, God the Protector. That name is reserved only to God. And Isaiah, through his prophecy, tells us that Jesus Christ is the God-man. God in the flesh. Everlasting Father. When we refer to Trinity, to the three persons in Trinity, we don't usually call the Son Father. But you need to know that Isaiah is not using a Trinitarian term. Isaiah is showing us that Jesus Christ, the God-man, will be like a father for his people. Like a father who cares for his children. And this son will care for his children. He will provide life to his children. He will provide salvation to his children. And Prince of Peace. You see, Isaiah prophesied that Christ is the God-man. But not only that, you see, our Lord Jesus Christ has been God always. In John chapter 8, 58, our Lord Jesus Christ said, "Truly, truly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." You see that great name that God told Moses when he was sending him to the Israelites in Egypt. I am who I am. That name is also reserved for God, and it belongs to Jesus Christ, the God-man. Jesus said, "I and the Father are one. We are one in essence. We are one in being. We are one in glory, power, wisdom, and holiness." No one took this name apart from Jesus Christ. Abraham didn't take this name. Moses didn't take this name. Jeremiah didn't take this name. Any founder of any religion in the world didn't take this name. Only Jesus Christ, the God-man, took this name. And that to show us who our Savior is. So that we would recognize Him as He is presented in the Scriptures. But at the same time, at the incarnation, our Lord Jesus Christ became man. He was not pretending to be a man. He was truly man. And the reason why he became true man is to take our place on the cross. To die on our behalf. To reconcile us with the Holy God. To reconcile the Holy God and sinners. For the righteous to die for the unrighteous. The perfect for the imperfect. He became man. But at the same time, our Lord Jesus Christ, when he was doing his earthly ministry, we see him demonstrating his deity. When he fed the 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. You see, only God can do that. When our Lord Jesus Christ came to the grave where Lazarus was laying, and he called Lazarus by name, "Lazarus, Lazarus, Lazarus, come out." Only God can do that. He is the God-man. You see, when you as Christians refer to Jesus Christ as an awesome Savior, that's the reason. He is the God-man. But also, our Lord Jesus Christ always calls people to have faith in His Word. You see, the God-man, Jesus Christ, calls people to have faith in His Word. After He told the nobleman, "Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe." And the man said, "Come to Capernaum before my son dies." Our Lord Jesus Christ said to him, "Go home, your son lives." Now you need to know, there was nothing mystical about it. It was a spoken word. Jesus Christ spoke a word. And the son was in Capernaum. And Jesus Christ was telling the nobleman, right now, I have used my authority. I have demonstrated my omnipresence, my omnipotent power. And I tell you, your son is well. He's living. Go home. And the word of God tells us, the nobleman believed in the words of Jesus Christ. Now you need to ask, what happened? The Bible tells us, faith comes by hearing. And hearing comes through the word of Christ. And the man believed after Christ spoke words to him. The Holy Spirit worked in the heart of this man. The Holy Spirit made the words of Christ effective in his heart. And he received a saving faith in his life. And the way that you can understand, the way that you would see that, is all doubt was gone. The nobleman was no more impatient man. The nobleman was no more demanding for signs and wonders. He believed the words of Christ. You see, God, through his son Jesus Christ, and through the work of the Holy Spirit, blessed this man with a saving faith. His faith was weak. It was not a saving faith. But Christ granted him a saving faith to the extent that this man said, I take you at your word, I believe, and I will go to my home. My brothers and sisters, you see, this shows us the prime purpose of our Lord Jesus Christ in this world. Why Jesus came to the world. At the time that he was healing the son, at the time that he was providing physical healing, our Lord Jesus Christ was healing the soul of the nobleman. And that is his prime purpose in life. The word of God in Luke chapter 19 verse 10 tells us, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. And the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 15, he says, the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The man whose faith has been resting completely upon miracles now advances to the higher stage. Two things took place in his life. Knowing Christ for he was... and believing in his word. He accepted the words of Christ, though he saw no deed by his own eyes. The word of God says, blessed are those who believe without seeing. Zacharias was a priest in Israel, and he had all the religious instructions that he needed in his life as a priest. And one day, an angel of the Lord visited him with a word from God, and he was a priest. And the angel told him, the Lord has given me this message to you. The Lord will bless you with a son. An angel from heaven. It was a heavenly visitation. And the angel is a messenger of God. And there is no lie in God. God is faithful to all his promises. And the priest, Zacharias, said to the angel, how would I know that what you are telling me will take place. He doubted the words of God. He doubted the promise of God. And even though it was a divine mortification, at the moment he doubted the words of Christ, the words of the angel, he remained dumb for several months. But my friend, it's not with Abraham. Abraham, at the time that the promise of God and the command of the Lord seemed to conflict to one another. Yesterday, he received Isaac as a gift, and today God comes to him and he commands him to kill Isaac. And at that time, Abraham believed in God. He told his son, "The Lord will provide." And the nobleman believed in the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. And certainly, believing in the words of Jesus Christ always bear fruit for God's kingdom. Notice what happened after Christ told the nobleman to go home and that his son was leaving. From that time onward, you see, the subject matter was not his son. Even our text doesn't say anything about the son. But our text does speak about what the nobleman did with his saving faith. He went to his family and he shared his faith with them. He told them about what he didn't know about Christ before and then what he knew after his encounter with Jesus Christ. And our text tells us him, the nobleman, and his entire household came to faith. The people of God, God has given us faith in order to be shared. God has blessed us with a saving faith so that we become witnesses of his great salvation. Faith is to be shared. The nobleman returned back to his family and he shared his faith. He shared the good news of the gospel with them. I remember one time a Christian brother was taken to prison and he stayed in prison for 7 months. He was beaten, he was tortured, and after 6-7 months in prison, he became very ill when he was in prison. And one time his captor came to him and he said to him, "I see that you are sick." And the brother said, "Yes, I'm sick and I might need medical attention." And the captor said to him, "You know, there is a solution for this." And the brother said, "What is the solution?" And his captor told him, he said to him, "The solution is, you know, I can let you go. The only thing that I need from you is for you to promise to me that you will not share your faith with anyone ever again after you leave this place." And the brother said to the captor, "I cannot do that." And his captor was surprised by his response. And he said to him, "Why? Don't you want to go home? Don't you want to be healed?" And the brother said to him, "First of all, it's not bad news. And secondly, it is to be shared. I cannot stop from sharing my faith with other people." My brothers and sisters in Christ, is that how you respond to the saving faith that God has given you by his grace and through your trust in His Son, Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the head of the church, has given us a command. And it's always amazing whenever we look into the commands that Christ has given us. He always gives a command with a provision. You see, our Lord Jesus Christ, He's not a cruel master. He's a very kind and a very gentle master. And I want to remind you the command that God has given you about the faith that He has given you freely. Our Lord Jesus Christ said concerning His followers, "You are the light of the world." That's the provision. You are the light of the world. Everyone who trusts in Christ, everyone who believes in the words of Christ is the light of the world, not because anything that you have done, not because of your own merit, but because the light of the world, Jesus Christ, dwells in you by faith. Because you have been united with Jesus Christ, the Son of God, by faith, you are the light of the world because of the light in you. That's the provision. And that's a huge, that's a remarkable provision, my brothers and sisters in Christ. But then Jesus said, "So now go and shine your light, because you live in a dark world." They need this light. The unbelievers need this light. The nobleman went back to his family and he shined the light of Jesus Christ. Remember, everyone in the sanctuary is not Dr. Curto. Everyone in the sanctuary is not an evangelist. You see, our Lord Jesus Christ, when He gave that command, He was not calling people to gospel ministry. He was not calling us to be evangelists, preaching, teaching, and discipling people. He was calling His people to be His witnesses. And a witness, the duty of a witness is to tell what he saw, what he heard, and what he experienced in his life. And we all have experienced the love of Christ. We all have experienced the love of God. While we were still sinners, God loved us through His Son, Jesus Christ. While we were still sinners, God chose us in His Son, Jesus Christ. Before the foundation of the world, you have a news to share and a light to shine. You are not without that message. John said, "He was life, and that life was the light of man." That's your light. And the question is, what are you doing with this light? Are you shining the light of the gospel to other people? Yes, there is no doubt that we all believe in the sovereignty of God. And you need to know that God doesn't need the help of anyone. A missionary who goes to the mission field, an individual believer, he goes to witness to other people. God doesn't need the help of anyone to convert any person to Himself. That's true. But at the same time, the same God who is sovereign, the same God who is able to save anyone without the help of a human being, He commanded us to go and shine the light of the gospel. The nobleman became instrumental to the salvation of his household. And you, my friends, with the power and the aid of the Holy Spirit, The Gospel of John says, and the Holy Spirit will come to testify about the Son. But when the Holy Spirit testifies about the Son, when you see the Gospel of John chapter 16, the Holy Spirit calls witnesses, and you are the witnesses. That the Holy Spirit, the lawyer, the advocate, on behalf of the Son of God, when He calls witnesses, He calls you, the people of God, to shine that marvelous light of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the question to all of us tonight is this. Do you recognize Christ for who He is? Would you take Christ at His word? He said, I'm the light of the world. Would you believe in that? He said, I'm the resurrection and the life. I'm the bread of life. Would you believe in those words? And then go to this perishing world and shine your light with the power and help of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, how we bless Your name, how we thank You for Your word, the holy and the infallible word that always reminds us who we are in Christ Jesus. And tonight we ask You to grant us Your Holy Spirit so that every one of us would become faithful witnesses to the person and the work of Your Son Jesus Christ. Help us to share our faith with our family members who are outside of Christ. Those family members of us on whom we have influence. Oh Lord, we always care for them physically. We always care for them about the things in this world. But help us to care for their soul. As of today, help us to be mindful of their need for a Savior, to be mindful of their need for repentance, and help us to reach out to them and share our faith, share our light, shine the light of Jesus Christ to them. And we can only do this by the help of Your Holy Spirit. So we pray for the power of Your Spirit to come upon us, to enable us to be faithful witnesses of Your Son, Jesus Christ. And it is in His name that we pray. Amen.